Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast with me, Tom Davis. Thank you so much for listening, as always. This is a different podcast because it's not going to be with a client or anybody else. It's going to be just me. I had a out-of-state client group this last week that really inspired this podcast. We had three different dogs, all very incredibly reactive, but all different types of reactivities. And I thought it would be a good idea for me to go over the objective of leash reactivity training or leash aggression training, as well as the different types, I guess, of leash reactivity. So for my out-of-state, by the way, a couple things is we launched our first group dog training podcast with my staff. If you guys like that, my listeners on my podcast sometimes don't carry over and transfer to anywhere else, and you guys just listen to podcasts. And you know, I really curate this whole podcast for you guys and what you guys want, what you guys like. There's a little bit of the selfishness of what I would also like to do, but ultimately it's up to you guys. So if you guys are liking the group podcast with my other trainers, let me know somehow. Screenshot this, tag No Bad Dogs, or leave a review and let me know. I just thought it would be cool to have a different perspective, like every topic that we talk about, having 3 to 5 different expert / professional opinions, I thought would give the podcast more diversity, as well as just different ideas for you guys to consume. And I'm always looking for ways for you guys to do that. And we also are kind of shifting things around to make it work, make it better, optimize it the first couple times in order to have other guests on, which we are later this month. So we're going to have in-person guests, and you guys can always watch that on my YouTube. But a lot of times people will only listen to audio because it makes the most sense, and I don't blame you. So we had a group of dog owners come in my out-of-state program. My out-of-state program we do typically once a month, and it's the only opportunity for people to work with me one-on-one at my facility due to my scheduling and things like that. So we had 3 dogs from 3 different areas of the world, and they're all really leash reactive. And this is the first time me and my media team had kind of stepped back. We're like, wow, this never happens. Like every single one of my dogs are reactive. Typically we'll get 1, possibly 2. Oftentimes it's people just wanting to become better handlers, things like that. If you guys watch my YouTube videos, you'll see that often. So anyway, this was 3 for 3. Every single one of them were reactive. Every single one of them. We couldn't even have a conversation in the front room. We had to get the dogs out. So, but they were all different types of reactivity. So the first one I'll talk about was actually on the podcast. The owners were on the podcast, and I think that, let me see if I can find the exact, let's see, I'm not exactly sure, but if I don't tell you guys verbally right now, I'll put it in the description, I'll find it. I think it's 158, I want to say, but if not, I'm going to leave it in the description below. But this person had worked with 3 other trainers, and you guys get the story, I mean, I don't have to keep going with that, but working with different trainers, really stressed out, not finding any progress. This border collie was absolutely fearfully reactive. So coming forward, we have a couple pieces of footage that's really interesting where the dog is actually air snapping at me. And then we had another dog that was doing the opposite, was not air snapping, was actually coming after me and hitting my leg and hitting my chest and hitting every part of me. And so we have some footage of that. And what we're also going to start doing as we add different people to my production team, we're going to be able to spend more time on diversifying our content as well, which means I'd like to do some sort of reaction videos to what's happening in my videos to give you guys a different perspective and different context of what I'm seeing. Because I think if we slow things down, I'm like, watch this, watch this, watch this. This is about to happen. You guys will really enjoy that. I remember I did a video way back in the day, and I just went over how dogs are interacting with one another in my daycare environment, and you guys love that. So we're going to start to kind of pick that up a little bit now that we have hopefully some new people joining the team soon. But let's just stick with this border collie, and then we had another shepherd named Luna. So the border collie muzzled, coming after me, air snapping, shaking, like his face, like really looking aggressive. Now, if you work with dogs long enough or you specialize in behavior modification, like I like to say I do, you'll be able to tell the different barks pretty, you know, pretty quickly, right? So this dog, again, was shaking his head, coming after me, but wasn't connecting with me. So there were a couple times where I'd get close enough or he'd get close enough where you'd just hear his, you'd hear his teeth clatter, the shack together, which is interesting because I think, you know, it's something to say because I think a lot of dog owners and people just in general, general public just thinks that if a dog is acting in such manner that they're trying to hurt somebody. And the breakdown of this particular dog was very interesting. So he didn't want to hit me. He didn't want to attack me. He didn't even want to bite me. He just wanted me to move away because he was terrified. So it's kind of like throwing a punch at somebody but not really wanting to hit them. They're like, hey, it's a bluff, essentially, which is, I think, just in our DNA and in our genetics to say, like, I don't want the smoke, right? I don't really want to do something. So this was that dog, that Border Collie, okay? That's a fearful, reactive dog. But this is a variance of fear that is really just, I'm acting aggressive because I want you to get away. So the reason why the dog is reactive is strictly out of like pissing himself fearful, right? Does not want to do any of these things. And then the second dog, which I just talked about, the German Shepherd named Jersey. All three of these videos will come out. Again, my videographer is back, probably 4 videos at least. So these will come out probably at the end of February, maybe earlier. But it's going to be really good behavioral stuff for you guys. So make sure you guys go and subscribe to my channel, my YouTube channel. Turn on your notifications. Pretty much, I talked about this in my live the other day with my members, is every... The algorithm on YouTube is so strange and weird, but a lot of this stuff that I put out, you guys won't see just because of covering things up with all the other stuff going on with shorts now being involved and blah, blah, blah. So just make sure you turn on the notifications. I don't want you guys to miss anything, but this breakdown is very interesting. So Jersey is another German Shepherd. She was adopted out. She had a bite history. Mom had traveled from North Carolina, just really struggling with reactions and aggression and reactions to other dogs. So again, I come in the front room, completely losing it, can't even talk, put the dog away, let's chat. And then we go outside and I say, let's get the dog back out. And then she actually comes after me. She hits my leg, she hits my leg, she hits my leg. And then what ends up happening, just to kind of streamline things, is she was fine with me after I worked with her for a little bit. And then I transferred her off to my other handlers, I think Zach and Kyle, because they're pretty comfortable working with these types of cases, or at least I'm comfortable with them working with these types of cases. So I hand the leash off to them. Same thing. She's hitting them from the back, but she's also hitting them at their legs and their ankles. So the forward motion of coming after somebody in the preliminary meeting and then not, right? So when I took the leash, she hit me and hit me and hit me and hit me. It's a lot like Bruce. If you guys remember Bruce on my YouTube channel, it's the big dog. I think the caption is very like dramatically like giant dog tries to murder me or something like that. And so the dog actually comes after me and after me and after me. And then after a while, I think the defense mechanism that the dog traditionally and historically will get goes down because I'm like, hey, this doesn't work. It doesn't get me away anymore. And this dog was also in a muzzle, obviously. I don't love getting tagged by dogs for fun. So she was coming after me very, very, very like traditional. But so the reason why it's fear reactivity is because the intentions behind the dog are clear about how she wants to hit me and how she wants to, you know, come after me. But, and however, once she realized that I wasn't going anywhere, she was completely okay. She was like, okay, cool. So she didn't not like me, is my point. And then we had a third dog named Luna, which was a young 1-year-old black intact female German Shepherd, working line from Czech or something. Just a beautiful black German Shepherd, but this was severely reactions as well. She did not have a muzzle, so I didn't handle her often because she would randomly react. But her reactions were what I was calling, I don't remember what I was saying, but it was almost very bratty and malicious. So this reactivity wasn't, again, I don't like people, I don't like you, I just don't know really what else to do, so I'm going to take advantage of whoever I can. So this reaction was bratty, a little bit of maliciousness of like, who can I pick on today? Who can I dummy today? Who can I mess with today? And she's gotten away with so much. And so the owners, I think one of the biggest pitfalls, and as you guys know, my job is to tell owners what they're doing wrong. So at any point in time, it may seem and look like I may be exploiting my clients because I am. That's kind of my job. When somebody comes in with a dog and says, hey, this dog's a mess, please help. My job is to say, these are the things that you're doing wrong and these are the things that you could have done differently. Now let's get better. So one of the many things that I think these guys made a mistake on, which I went over in the video, is they waited until a year to get work done with the dog. And I remember specifically the mom handler saying like, oh, we wanted, I can't remember how it went, but it was something along the lines of, we started looking for a trainer at 6 months. And in my opinion, the dog should be fully trained before 6 months, because then you don't run into these problems. So anyway, regardless, so they kind of got on the wagon late with this dog. You get a young, intact, working line German Shepherd, and you don't, out of the gate, 8 to 10 weeks, start training, you're going to have problems, likely. And that's exactly what had happened. So she learned over time to just dummy people, just mess with people, poke people, look at people and come after them, and then they would react. So I think that that's a big piece to Luna's reactions, is she was basically bored. And so there's three different reactions, kind of going back. The first reaction with the dog name Moki, which is the border collie, air snapping, growling, lunging, but not hitting. Clearly just like, hey, please get the heck out of here, I don't know what else to do. The second dog was like, I've learned that if I hit you, you'll never touch me again, or you'll never come near me again, which means if I tag you and bite you or nip you or whatever, correct you, you'll never come at me again. And that's ultimately what I want. And I think she's learned that over time. She did have a bite history. So I think that's what happened. She nipped somebody out of fear or out of insecurity or out of I don't know what else to do. And they got rid of the dog. So she's like, okay, this is how I do this. But one thing about Jersey, the second German Shepherd, is the owner had zero control when Jersey was reacting. So that was a big, big problem. And again, guys, like when I'm talking about my clients, I think one misconception that typically ends up happening, especially with the internet and content, is I'm working with a very specific group of dogs almost every time I'm working with dogs. I don't get people for puppies and things like that very rarely, unless I'm on tour and people just, you know, want to work with me. But you guys don't see those videos anyway, because it's basic stuff that, you know, you can go down to PetSmart and get. But all of these dogs anyway were coming after me, but Jersey in particular and her owner, like I would come within 3 to 4 feet with the owner and the dog, and she absolutely had zero control. She's pulling and pulling and pulling, the dog just rawr, 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 just hitting and hitting and hitting, no control, zero. So the reason why it was really clear that Jersey was reactive is because the owner told me that when she drops her off for grooming and leaves, she's great. Or if she's not around, she's typically really good with people. That tells me that it's the relationship and the control. And so anyway, so that's the second dog, Jersey. And then again, Luna, again, very like, I'm going to sucker punch you, I'm going to try to get away with stuff. Because you can tell when she's with the handler and just hanging out, she's just scanning the room. She's constantly looking for her next thing to do. And the owners didn't have the skill sets to be able to get this dog engaged with them. So she hit that 8 to 1 year mark where she started to fully mature and become an adult dog. And then they started looking for help. And at that point, the dog is already like, this is how life goes. And it's dramatically harder for you to modify the dog's perception of how they can act as well as handle the dog, because they didn't have any handling skills or very little. And then they also were dealing with a behavioral problem. So you had two big things that we were trying to unfold in a weekend, which is, you know, it makes my job hard, but you'll have to watch the videos to see how it all panned out. But my point is I want you guys to understand that there's so many different variances of reactivity. And then even from there, there's different variances of that kind of split off. So it's kind of like a family tree, if you will. It's like split and split and split. So we have leash reactivity, and then we have fearful, and then we have maliciously boredom fearful or whatever. And then we have like actual fear, and then we have like on-forwarded fear, like I'm actually going to bite you, but I don't mean it. So there's all these different things. And I just wanted to point these things out that, you know, in my experience when working with dogs, this is all I do. As you guys may or may not know, this is all I do is just investigate dog behavior and work with dogs. And I really try to do what's best for the dog and what's working for the dog. And in these types of situations, again, like these dogs were very clear about their intentions. And I will say, every single dog came in to the front room and we couldn't even have a conversation. They have never been around one other dog. They have never been around other people. They have never been handled by another human. These people could not have people over for years, right? I mean, absolutely disabled their life for the most part, especially with Jersey and with Moki. And I think Luna, like her intentions are a little bit different. Again, she's malicious, she's young, she's opportunistic. She hasn't really found her way yet, but they got help at that 1 year mark because it probably started when she fully matured. But I will tell you that every single dog that came into the facility for that really bad reaction and traveled to me ended up being in my group class twice on Saturday. They came in Thursday. They've never been around other people. They've never been around other dogs. They were in group class with 10 to 15 other dogs and people successfully. Absolutely unreal. I'm so proud and happy and grateful for the opportunity to turn things around for them and help them understand why their dogs were reactive, specifically granularly, and also give them the confidence that then when they go home, their dog can actually be capable of the things that they're doing. And I'm really excited about these videos because, you know, one of the major things I put in the video is some of these people have been working for years. Think about a whole year. You guys, think about a whole year. 365 days, not every day, but these guys have been working with some trainers for two of those years. Even 6 months, even a month is an extraordinarily valuable amount of time when working with somebody. And if you are not seeing results, and this is nothing to do necessarily with political stuff at all, I'm just saying, I don't care who you're working with at any level, if you are not seeing results within a month, I'm not saying fully trained, I'm just saying seeing results, seeing a little progress, happy with it, please seek somebody else. Your time is so valuable with your dog. And I'm excited to put that video together because I hope it can be very eye-opening for people. So anyway, three different types of fearful reactivity, or I don't really know what else to do, insecurity reactivity. And I think Luna is definitely more on that scale, black young German Shepherd. And so I just wanted to point that out, but also go over the point of behavior modification with these particular dogs, because I know that there's a lot of different information out there. And to be completely honest with you guys, and I've said this before, I don't care if you're a Christmas tree wreath maker, you're a Chevy mechanic, or you're a dog trainer, I can go on the internet right now and find everything I want to support my opinion, my subjective opinion of what I truly believe in my heart and my passion. It doesn't matter. And I want to make that clear that I could go right now and find anything that I want to find that can completely flip the other objective or the other ideology on its head and say complete opposite. And So I'm trying to do the best to be that beacon of light for you guys out there and not be super biased one way or the other, as much as I possibly can, realistically and fairly to, you know, the things that I'm doing and the success that we have. But I will say, I want to go over the objective or the goals of behavior modification at scale as a generalized statement, especially with these three dogs. And I just put out a Instagram short with a dog named Kona. And I'll leave the description of Kona in the... I'm writing that down to make sure I don't forget. So that video with Kona the German Shepherd, again, was a perfect example for you guys to see a extremely... And I think the video is like my most reactive dog, because this dog, she was absolutely, or he, I can't remember, geez, he was absolutely, I think it was a he, insane. Like, he was so reactive, like, could not even, but he's the sweetest dog. And so people have a hard time out there trying to navigate, like, my dog's not aggressive, my dog's only reactive, like, why are these things happening? And this particular dog, again, like with Kona, was able by the end of our program to be around and play with other dogs. Unbelievable. Like, their owners were like, holy crap, right? So I just want to go over like the objective. So with Kona, for an example, this dog was really reactive and the owner had some handling errors that I had to correct and had to teach her what she was doing was wrong, right? And what she was doing was actually enabling the dog. And for the most part, dogs who come in with this really fearfully insecure reactivity, especially like the three dogs that in this last group, the objective is to almost every time immediately get rid of the problem that's not allowing the dog to progress, which is typically the reaction. So the dog has been conditioned that when they see another dog or they see another person to react. Think about a reaction. Think about when you see like reaction on YouTube or somebody reacts to a scary movie. Like they're physically, emotionally, expressionally reacting to something, right? They're like, ah, or whatever. Or they're happy or they're sad. It's a reaction to an event. So when somebody walks into a room, they're reacting. They see another dog, they're reacting. So typically, what I like to do and what I've been very successful at in the past, over and over and over again, times a thousand, has been getting rid of the reaction so the dog can think. And that's typically at scale, generally what happens. Dogs who come in, like Kona is a perfect example, absolutely gorgeous, long-haired German Shepherd. Dog comes in, super reactive. They couldn't have people over. They couldn't have friends over. They couldn't go places. They were in prison with their beautiful dog. And the shitty thing was, is their dog is the friendliest, happiest, nicest dog, but they couldn't do anything. So imagine how frustrating that is. It's like, we can't even walk out of our house with a dog that I know is probably going to want to kiss everybody because of his reactions. And so my objective in the beginning is to correct the behavior that's not allowing the dog to progress, which is typically the reaction. Hey, stop. Nope. Stop. Think. Breathe. Good. Come over here. Okay. Now let's... Oh, it's not so bad. Okay. Yep. Good. And so what ends up happening is you'll see dogs start to progress and you'll see dogs start to think. And that's what a lot of my channel is, which I think sometimes creates some controversy with certain individuals because I'm not trying to shut a dog down in particular to just being an overall dog. What I'm trying to shut down is their instinctual reaction that they've developed over 6 months to a year to sometimes 3 years. This is how we behave. And I'm like, you're not doing that anymore. I'm taking that off the table. Reactions for you are not happening. We're not doing that. Stop. And so we're correcting that behavior and we're also making that type of reaction not in the dog's toolbox to get them to think, right? So if we were, I'm just talking out loud, it's the beauty of podcast. If we were to take a dog that was instinctually very aggressive, that actually didn't like people and or actually didn't like dogs, kind of like just a bad egg, which are rare, but they do happen, and that's okay. And they've been on my channel for sure, but some dogs who maybe just don't like these things, right? Suppressing those things is part of the reality. So you have a dog, so let's break this down even further. You have a dog owner that comes in with a dog that is like that, right? So a dog that is really aggressive, innately wants to bite everybody, hates people except for their owners. Now, some people may, and this isn't my place, right? Some people may argue like, well, you should just put the dog down, blah, 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 whatever. That's not my place, to be honest. My place is to just say, you hire me as a dog trainer or whatever, and I'm going to help you through this process. I'll give you all the information I can. So somebody comes in with one of those dogs. My job is to manage the situation. Like once we've established like, hey, look, this dog does not like other people. This dog will never like other people. This dog will never like other dogs. You can't ever have kids around this dog. You can't ever have people around this dog without a muzzle, so on and so forth. And that happens often, to be honest with you guys. And you hear it on my podcast. You see it in my videos. It's rare compared to the amount of dogs that are like Jersey, Luna, and Moki, where they're just like, I don't know what else to do. And I'm like, hey, quit the shit. They're like, okay, well, what do I do? This is what you do. Oh, okay. Same thing with Kona. And same thing with a lot of, I can list all the different dogs on my channel that I can think of, but I just want to be clear that when a dog that comes in, like the three that came in, I'm trying to eliminate the reaction so they can think. So they come out, they react. So let's say, and you have to understand that a dog biting somebody is the difference between life and death for them. They could be euthanized, they could be put down, mom and dad could be sued, somebody could get hurt, and so on and so forth. It's very, very serious. And you have to take it seriously. And you have to have a multi-dimensional way to handle this situation. That what if X, Y, and Z happens? What are you going to handle it with, right? So these dogs come in, we correct the behavior. The reaction that they're doing is uncomfortable. Don't do this. And then the dog has an opportunity to think. It's kind of like any addiction that we have as humans, where we get on, and this may get a little too involved, but think about the addictions that we have as humans that don't allow it, it enables us. We're not actually handling what we're insecure about. We're not actually handling a potential fault of our behavior. So let's say we go into a room full of relatives that we haven't been around or whatever. And I'm not saying shy people shouldn't be shy and introverts shouldn't be introverts, but I'm saying, what do we typically do when we get into a situation that we're uncomfortable with? We take out our phone. It takes us away from the situation. It's like, I really want to meet these guys. I haven't seen these cousins. I haven't met these cousins or whatever it is, right? And we can go all day about addiction to all these different things or enabling ourselves to not progress. And so we get into the room, we're like, oh man, these are people that I'll never see again. I really want to help, but I take out my phone because it's my go-to. And I'm going to scroll aimlessly doing nothing. There's no progress. It doesn't help me with my security of talking to individuals or being assertive and being confident. Hey, my name's Tom. I live here. Nice to meet you. I think you're my cousin. Or just in a business sense, right? You go into a business interview. And every single time you've ever been in an uncomfortable situation socially, you whip out your phone and then you go to a business interview to get a job to put food on your table and pay your rent, and you can't talk to somebody. Because for so long in your life, if you get uncomfortable, you take out your phone and you escape. Now, I want to be clear that music, phone, podcast, entertainment, content is a blessing in so many different ways. Obviously, you guys listening to this podcast now, but when we abuse it and we become obsessed with it and we become addicted to it, it's not, you know? So I'm trying to give you guys an example. So when a dog comes in and they see somebody and the only thing that they've known how to do in a situation is to react, bark, 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 get out of here. My mom's here. My family's here. Get out of here. Okay, done. They don't really have a problem, just like I wouldn't have a problem with my cousins that I'm insecure meeting. And I'm just giving you guys an example. I try to find myself, like, I make it a habit to keep my phone in my pocket so I can become a better person, I can become more confident in any situation, right? I'm doing a talk today at Tufts College, which is arguably one of the, it's a very prestigious college in Massachusetts, right outside of Boston. It's good. I'm doing a talk for their veterinary students. And if I got up there and I just took out my phone because I was nervous, because I'm going to be nervous, right? It's like a bunch of people in a big auditorium in a college that I've, you know, I don't know. But I'm not going to take out my phone because I need to get shit done and I need to handle it and it needs to help me become more confident, right? So when these dogs are reacting, they're like, this is my go-to. It's kind of like a pacifier. It's this, and again, I'm talking generally. Like these three dogs were like, oh shit, boom, react. Oh shit, boom, reaction. And generally speaking, the majority of clients that come in that are handling these situations don't do anything effective enough, right? The dog is reacting and we're kind of tapping them on the shoulder like, please, no, don't. And they're screaming and barking and lunging. Now, if they got off or we let go of them or whatever happened and they nip somebody because they didn't know what else to do, your dog could be killed because of that. Your dog could be taken away because of that. You could be sued because of that. A kid could get hurt because of that. And the dog really didn't want to do that, didn't want to go off and do these things. You just had nothing. Like Jersey's a perfect example. Jersey's a really nice dog. This dog owner loves this dog more than anything. At home, she's the sweetest dog in the world. I come up to shake Jersey's mom's hands and she tries to bite my chest. And if I was anybody who, you know, what didn't do what I do, I would pull back. I would go to the hospital. The dog would, you know, all these things, right? So when we're doing behavior modification, typically for these reactive dogs that really don't mean what they're looking like they mean, which is the majority of dogs, my success has been correcting the behavior when it happens to say, quit the shit, man. Stop doing this. This is inappropriate. You need to think. Stop. Then laying out the red carpet for thereafter when the dog starts making good decisions because they don't want to get corrected or they don't want to get punished or whatever. So in the beginning, it's no, this is wrong, stop. But then it gives them an opportunity to think. And then it gives them an opportunity to actually digest and compartmentalize what's happening in front of them. Like all the good things that can happen when you put your phone down and actually have a conversation with somebody, right? These types of things. And then like, and this is just my personal like success stories with all the dogs that I work with is I'm not trying to, like, part of it is building confidence with dogs and things like that. However, the other thing is just when a dog reacts like that, I mean, it's deadly to them. It's the same thing with, that's why I take remote collar training so seriously is because it's, if they don't listen, it's deadly. Like, what's the worst case that happen if your dog doesn't come back? Well, they can get hit by a car. I was just in Colorado. They had 14 dogs that were killed by this one mountain lion. 14 in one county. Like, what's the worst case scenario if your dog doesn't come back? Like, that's what I think about. I love dogs so much that the way that I train, and I started saying this in my podcast with my staff, is we're like lifestyle dog trainers. Like, yeah, we're balanced and we do tons of positive reinforcement, all that stuff. But like, really, we're real lifestyle dog trainers. We want you and your dog to live a happy life. We're not going to worry about this left or right or good or bad, whatever. We're just going to say, hey, you have a dog, let us help you. We're going to put it into your life to make you guys successful. If you hike, if you camp, if you're the governor, if you're the president, if you're a celebrity, let's help you, right? So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that that was clear. When we're doing behavior mod or when we're trying to stop reactive dogs who don't have this genetical default to do all these things, hasn't killed three or four other dogs, yada, yada, yada. They don't know what else to do. And so typically what ends up happening, especially with these dogs, like how do I get the success that I get in such a short period of time with a reactive dog? And it's simply because I make the problem a negative experience for the dog. Just like the other side of the spectrum, I make what we really want and the solution very enjoyable. It's a contrasting balance of life. And I think that a lot of things get in our way when we're talking and thinking about these things. And for an example, if you go back and listen to that podcast with that mom and dad, with Moki, the border collie, I was on the phone with them, and the UPS guy came by a couple times, and we had to just stop and wait, and they couldn't even talk to somebody on the phone. Crazy stuff, and I just feel so terrible. And when Moki came in, the dad was like, man, this is it. Like, I don't have any other options. Like, we're always going to keep this dog, but we can't live our lives. We have to wait for this dog to die, basically. And what a terrible life to live, not only for the family, but for the dog. Could you imagine a dog living in your house that literally can't even sit down because they think that they're always under attack because they're so insecure? And they've done a lot of reward-based systems with the dog up until that point. So the only training that the dog has ever received is how to do the things that we want them to do. And then the moment the dog, which is the problem, they hired a trainer to help with the reaction. The moment the dog is reactive, they get put in the other room. It's a constant, it's just not good for the dog. And so I just wanted to break these things down, that the objective is the dog goes 0 to 10 and I say, hey, no, we're not doing that. Stop. And the dog says, yeah, but no. But the dog, no. And then they sit there and then they see the dog. They look at the person and then boom, they get paid with this big piece of beef liver. And then we move forward. And they look at the person, they look at the dog, and then boom, they get paid again. They're like, wow, this is great. And then maybe that person moves, and then the dog goes, and then boom, they get corrected again. Nope, not good. Don't do it. That person's allowed to be in the room, bud. And it's very fair, too, because we're not asking this person to come up and pet this dog's belly. Like, we had an example with Moki that the Moki's the border collie with the muzzle. And you'll see in the video, So we went back into the front room after we worked, because I try to transition. I try to like make it as realistic as possible. Let's move. I don't want to just be successful in this room. Let's come over here. Let's come over here. Let's just keep moving and grooving to make sure that we're good. So what ended up happening was we went into the back room and we did great, blah, blah, blah. And then the dog was reactive to me in the beginning of this training session in the room, right? So I said, let's go back up into the front room with other people now that we're good and we've established that. Because again, Moki is not an aggressive or reactive dog. Or I'm sorry, not an aggressive dog by nature. I mean, depending on how you define aggression, this dog should actually be out ripping cow hooves apart, but he's not. He's living in a house with like 3 other working dogs and they're just trying to figure life out. So we went back in the front room. I had Kaysen come out, which is one of my trainers. She walked into the room. Moki growled and said, ooh, there's a... So again, this individual, Kaysen, walked in a room. And Moki said, I can't deal with this. That is a fair, warranted no. And just remember that no is not abuse, guys. Telling your dog no and teaching your dog what's acceptable and not is your job and your duty. And in my experience and in my opinion, it's extraordinarily unethical to not make that clear with your dog, because they develop just like Moki did. Positive, just do this is how you do things. And then as soon as the dog did what they didn't want to happen and potentially bite somebody, they turn the other way. And this dog got so messed up because of this. And so Kaysen comes into the room. The dog growls. This guy has a slip on or prong on or something. So he corrected Moki. Moki's going, boom, correction. Disrupted it, stopped it. Moki looked at the owner. Pay him. Boom. Good. Okay, good. Kaysen moves a little bit. Moki looks at Kaysen, looks back at the handler. Pay. Now that, that's all I needed to see, and all the owner and anybody else needed to see what works for these types of dogs and what is sustainably going to be successful after they tried for 3 effing years. Couldn't do it. And within 48 hours, they were finally making progress because they were ignoring the problem. Completely ignoring the problem. And the owner was scratching his head, so frustrated, so upset, just living with this. And I'm saying this because I care so deeply about dogs that I encourage anybody out there that is struggling with their dogs to please, please, for your dog's sake, to look at alternative options. That does not mean alternative training methods. Sometimes it does, but I am simply at scale trying to just if you guys are, if your friend, family, neighbor, like, oh yeah, we're in training and it's just not working. How long? 6 months, a year? For the love of God, please look somewhere else. And I think that some dog owners get so invested with their trainer because their trainer is lovely and they can be. And I just want you guys to see progress. And that's all I care about. It's why I do the podcast, the YouTube channel, the TikToks, the everything, the whatever I do is absolutely for free because I care so much about dogs getting better and whatever. So these videos are going to be put up on my YouTube. They're going to be distributed all over like they already are. And sometimes I don't make a big deal out of big deals. And you know what? I may start making big deals out of big deals. These dogs could not be in a room with one single person. One single dog has never been handled by anybody else in their lives, has struggled for years, readopted, rehomed, etc. And by the end of the weekend, 48 hours, they were in group class successfully without anybody's help. It's not about the dogs being so stressed that they're shut down. All the dogs did wonderful. Of course, they're stressed. Holy shit, what a transition. What a different life that they're living now. And so anyway, I just wanted to make this podcast because I just felt like there's so many dog owners out there struggling so hard emotionally, physically, financially with their dogs. And what we did and what I did as a group was an absolute masterclass on how to do that. And I just hope you guys find these resources valuable and helpful and to some degree life-saving. And one other thing why I have you as a kind of a solo act here is, you know, I posted this video on Instagram or YouTube. I just want to be clear, when I post stuff on, like, specifically with like titles and stuff, and this is something I've talked about before, and I you guys, I care about you guys a lot. You're listening to me, you support me, you believe in me, and I want you guys to know as much as you can about me. And so I just think that in the internet, especially on YouTube, like when I post a video that says dog wants to kill me, dog's trying to be dominant, I'm trying to get as many people, as many dog owners scrolling through the internet looking for help to click on these things. And I know that that can be frustrating. And I don't want you guys to think that it's, of course it's clickbait. That's my job. My job is to get people to click on things to get help. It's like the tabloids. I have to get your attention to get you into my channel to help you. And that's why we see so many people like, oh, I've been binging. It's like once they get in, they're like, oh my gosh. And the amount of clients that have come in to say, like, once I saw one of your videos, I looked at all of the other ones and I really had an epiphany. I really had a moment of shift and things like that. I just had somebody comment and I put dominant in my title. And I know dominant at scale is absolute horseshit. Dominance is horseshit, right? There's certainly dominant dogs out there. It does exist. It's been used so much because TV and things like that and whatever. But dogs who are pushy and confident and will take your chips off the table and send you packing are out there. We've seen them. sure, you can label it as dominant and things like that, but at scale, guys, like, I don't buy into that shit. I don't think anybody should buy into that shit. Like, I'm going to be dominance, I think, by definition, I don't even know, but it's just like to dominate somebody and to take over and to take control and be bigger and badder and stronger. That's bullshit. Bullshit, right? We all know that. But I just put dominant in this thing because I know people are at scale. You guys, pet owners, the human race is going to see dominant as like, oh, this dog's trying to dominate other dogs. Let me see this. And if I can get one person to click that has a dog that is acting the same to get them to watch my videos to get their dog better, you bet your ass I'm going to do it. So I'm just like, it is frustrating the amount of, I shouldn't say that. It is frustrating sometimes when I see that some people will be like, Tom, I absolutely love what you do, but you use dominant in your title and now I don't. And I'm like, okay. I just want to be clear that social media, especially on the YouTube game, especially on the titles and the thumbnails, you have to compete. You have to be clickbaity. You have to get people in. You have to get people's attention. You have to get these people in to help them. And I for some of you, you may be like laughing and being like, oh yeah, no shit. But for some other people, they'd be like, oh, that makes sense. That's why you do it. Yes, that's why I do it. We need people to click on stuff because there's other people out there and there's other things out there that are going on and people are getting confused and they're not getting the help that they need. And I just want people's help. If you click on my video and you enjoy it, amazing. If you click on somebody else's video and enjoy it, amazing. If you click on my video and you hate it, that's also cool. I'm not trying to get everyone's approval and everyone's help, but I just wanted to be clear that I get a little frustrated sometimes when people don't understand the social media game. I've been creating content now for over 10 years, something like that, professionally, and you just have to play the game of the algorithm, and you have to play the game of what everyone else is doing. If I put up a title that says, Happy German Shepherd Turns Mean Under Certain Circumstances, people aren't going to click on that shit. But if I put leash aggressive dog tries to dominate others, you're going to be like, ooh, let me check that out, right? So I just want you guys to know that this is a business, this is a game that we have to play sometimes, and I don't want you guys to think that I'm being, I don't know, I just want to be clear. I'm going to answer three of your dog training questions. And by the way, as of right now, we are the number one dog training podcast in the country on Spotify and iTunes because of you. So thank you so much. It's an amazing feeling to have. I work really hard. My whole team works really hard. You guys work really hard, paying attention every week. And I just am so grateful and so thankful to be able to have a platform to help dogs. It's always been my life dream is I want enough people. I want to help people. And that's just, you know, what we're doing. And so thank you guys so much. And I really appreciate it. If you guys are listening to this, we put a lot of time and effort into these videos. Please leave a review on iTunes or Spotify. And I'm going to be answering three of your dog training questions right now. Let's get into it. So the first one comes from 5-star review, Pity with Tunnel Vision, 12 Paws for Life. At 14 months old, my APT tends to lose hearing. Anyway, when he sees something such as a deer in my backyard or a dog he wants to play with, I've done your course, watched all your videos, I'm missing something. I'll stop right there. If you've watched all my videos and you've taken my course, you know, you should know that at this point that your dog isn't losing hearing. Before I read the rest of this, it's probably two things. You don't have the obedience you need to pull your dog out of these situations. And whatever you're countering this dog with is not overpowering what the distraction is. You have a currency game when you're outside. Your marketing to the dog has to be better than what the other people are offering. You get a deer shaking its butt, running around, and you're like, hey, come here. Yeah, no, you're losing. So the thing that you're missing, we'll talk about, but that's all I need to hear. Is your dog is not listening. Your dog just doesn't know how to listen under those circumstances yet. I work with him daily. He's smart as a whip, knows his word commands, but when he focuses on what he wants, there's no getting his attention. Not sure what I can do. I know he's a terrier and they live to hunt, but there's got to be a way to snap him out of his zone. Any suggestions would be great. Well, that's it. That's kind of like what we've been talking about this whole time. Like I just put a short out with Kona, the German Shepherd I've been talking about. This dog gets so reactive. So the owner has this dog at the end of the leash, and he's reacting and reacting and reacting. And the owner is backing up and pulling, backing up and pulling, backing up and pulling. Okay. So if I'm a dog lover first. I'm a dog owner first, have been since my whole life. And if you can't be naive to say, when you're in your house and your environment and you're training your dog with very minimal distractions and you're paying your dog and your dog's like, cool, this is great, I'm in with you. And then you go outside and the marketing becomes so much like, it's like going down Las Vegas Strip for your dog. You won't matter at all. Like that's it's just the reality coming from a dog owner. Forget that I'm doing this professionally. Forget that I make a living off of this. I'm a dog owner. And I'm telling you that when you're inside and you're like, hey man, come here. Here's a piece of beef. Oh, sweet. Hey man, come here. Here's a piece of beef. Oh, sweet. And you go outside and there's deers and there's squirrels and there's chipmunks and there's other dogs. Your piece of beef is minimalized in currency completely. I don't give a shit about that. I don't want to listen to you. So in my experience and in success with my clients over the years, the correction itself to say, hey, snap out of it is what you are missing. I can almost guarantee that you're using a flat collar, a harness, or something that doesn't get the dog's attention adequately. It's that simple. I don't, you know, it really does come down to that. That's why we have the invention of the prong collar to distribute that pressure evenly and safely around the dog's neck to snap them out of things. So they go, oh, Kona, perfect example. Barking, barking, barking. I said, look, you got to correct your dog out of this state of mind using counter conditioning. This dog is reactive and reactive and reactive and reactive. And the owner's just drawn back, Kona, come, Kona, come, Kona, come. So what I did is I got the same dog to move. I walk forward 1, 2, 3 steps, just like you're doing. I said, Kona, come. He flipped me off. He said, fuck you. And I said, Kona, come. He's like, nope. Boom. Correction. He put his ears down. He licked his lips. He's like, oh shit, that sucked. That was stressful. Yeah, man. Like, you're running the show. We can't have friends over. We can't bring you places. We can't go to Lowe's anymore. We can't go to Home Depot anymore. We can't have family over. We can't do anything with you. We're stuck with you for the next 10 years. I don't want to live like this. You don't want to live like this. You're damn right. That's uncomfortable, buddy. No means no. I walked forward literally 4 seconds later. I said, Kona, come. He whipped his head around, wagged his tail, and I paid him. Boom. No correction, no punishment, no discouragement at all. Boom. Positive reinforcement. Easily done. Simplified. That's what you're missing. You're missing the ability to correct the dog when they actually make a mistake. So that's it. I have an enormous amount of catalog on leash reactivity. I highly suggest Leash Reactivity Blueprint is probably the best thing to do. Listen to that. But that's why your dog isn't listening. It's the same story we hear. And I love you, by the way. He says you're one of my biggest fans, and you know, I just have to be honest with you. I'm not trying to come off any other way than be honest with you. And I really appreciate you listening. But you're listening because I'm honest with other people, and I have to be honest with you. Every single time, majority of the time, when somebody says, my dog doesn't listen when we get into these environments, it's because you haven't built the sustainable ability to get to that point yet, and the correction or punishment you're using to get the dog out of this situation is minimal to non-existent. Therefore, your dog isn't going to turn around and go, oh, yeah, I'll chase the deer later, Ma. I'm a terrier. I'll chase the squirrel later, Ma. Mm-mm. These are animals. These are killers. They're living in a house with humans. They see a deer, a squirrel, and a chipmunk running around making all the noises. Yeah, no, not happening. I wish we lived in a different world where you say, come. They're like, yes, mother. No. These are animals. They're killers. They will kill these things for fun. And they do. So that's your deal. Easy, easy, easy peasy lemon squeezy on that. All right, thank you so much for this free content. 5-star review from MJ10. Thank you so much for your podcast. I'm currently working my way through chronologically to hear everything you have to say, and I could become a better dog owner now. My question for you is, I have a two and a half year old Schnauzer mix that has a car anxiety for about a year and a half now. I can't link it to anything. He's never been in an accident. Just one day he started shaking and panting in the car. Initially thought it was heat related because the anxiety began in the summer and he's susceptible to heat, but it continued. I have tried several different methods, desensitization, he won't take treats because he's over his threshold, calming collars, absolutely nothing has helped. About 2 months ago, I started crating him in the car after conditioning him to the crate, and it's still happening. So MJ10, some dogs don't like traveling, period. If you've tried everything, that's all it is. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's it. Some dogs do not like traveling. Some people don't like traveling, right? I mean, don't be so hard on yourself. I know it's inconvenient, and I know it sucks to see your dog stressed under any circumstances. However, some dogs do not do well with traveling. It's a question of, well, my dog doesn't like fireworks. Your dog's never going to like fireworks. Your dog's always going to hate fireworks. Your dog's always going to try to hide in the bathtub when they hear fireworks. Well, my dog doesn't like a thunderstorm. Your dog's never going to like a thunderstorm. These are all natural, instinctual things that some dogs just do not do well with. This isn't a training thing. This is more of a personal, behavioral, like, this is what I like and what I don't like thing. And there's nothing you can do about it. Well, when I say you, I mean you. I mean, a lot of other people that are listening can do the things that you've already tried: desensitization, calming collars, exercise, crate training, blah, blah, blah. If you've done everything, which it sounds like you have, then your dog just doesn't like it. So don't be so hard on yourself. Right now, you're doing everything you can to be a good dog owner. You're putting your dog in your crate to be safe so they can't wander around and, you know, cause an accident or anything. You put them in the crate. You get to your place, you get the jitters out, and you move on. And that's it. And just don't be so hard on yourself. Again, I if you're doing everything and it's still not working, under these circumstances, behavioral. And that's a good point. It's a big difference. When we're talking about training, and then we're talking about behavior, like oftentimes, like what I was just talking about with these three shepherds, is if they clearly have an ability to be okay with some people because they're okay with their owners, right? Oh yeah, my dog loves me and my partner and my mom and my dad and my neighbor who comes over all the time, but everyone else now. So it's like, okay, well, there's no variable here, right? There's no consistency. It's just the people who your dog gets to know, your dog likes, but unless they know them, then it's all over. This is a consistent thing that you're having. My dog never is good in the car. Doesn't matter who's in the car. Doesn't matter where we go. Doesn't matter how fast we go. Doesn't matter anything. My dog does not like the car. Like, right? That's a very consistent thing. So anyway, I hope that helps you. And I, like I said, don't be so hard on yourself. Load your dog up, get to where you need to go, and be done with it. I would just say the other thing is just like tons of exercise. If you have a long drive or if it's something you have to do for work or whatever, lots of exercise, mental and physical, is always going to be helpful regardless of, you know, the panting and the whining and the circling. So anyway, next one, VJOT123, 5-star review, fantastic podcast. Thank you so much. Excuse me. Tom Davis hits an incredible balance of listening to the fears and concerns of dog owners while being honest and constructive regarding the steps and those to take to create a change. My question is when is it appropriate to correct two dogs who are good friends with each other than cross a line while playing? To what extent should dogs be allowed to correct one another versus humans stepping in to intervene? What do you consider to be fair correction from dog to dog? You know, the interesting thing is I was thinking about this the other night. I was putting some research together for my presentation I'm doing at Tufts College today. And I was looking at all my old videos of wolves. And I was looking at all my old videos of doggy daycare play. These are the things I was saying I really want to start putting out again. And dogs are so good at correcting one another. And the most natural, this is why I train the way that I do, is because when you watch two dogs interact with one another and they correct one another, it gives us an opportunity to really understand how they understand things. My older dog who had passed away last year, Lola, I had her since she was 18. She's the best teacher I've ever had. If we had a obnoxious puppy or an obnoxious dog, Lola would walk around and be like, yeah, 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 I'm a dog. And then the dog would come up and she'd stop. She'd freeze. She'd show her teeth. She'd growl. She might snip and nap. Correct. So she'd correct the dog. She wouldn't attack the dog. She wouldn't. All these things are the most natural things that are never going to be outdated, because you can't outdate genetics in a sense of behavior. And what that means is if I take a puppy and I take an older, balanced, mature dog, and the puppy runs up to that older, balanced, mature dog, and the dog turns, shows their teeth and growls, and then snaps the dog, the puppy spins over backwards, runs away, no harm, no foul, it was uncomfortable, it was a quick pinch. Now the puppy knows that when we show teeth, danger. When we growl, danger. The next step is the correction, like a rattlesnake. So my point is dogs will play with one another naturally. And to answer your question, I think, again, generally speaking, I typically step in when a dog is trying to escape a situation and they cannot, and the other dog is trying to get to them to play or to be malicious or pick on them or whatever. So those are the types of things that I'll step in. Dogs are dogs. And a lot of dog owners, a lot of pets, have no idea what these things are supposed to be doing and are capable of. They're absolute savages. They're absolute killers. They're beast, world athletes, amazing creatures. Oftentimes, all we want to do is love and kiss on them and put them on the couch. But these guys need more than that. So I really like to dive in granularly to how dogs are and who they are and what they're supposed to be doing. And yeah, they're going to play rough and they have teeth and they have canines and all these things. Like, let them play. Let them figure each other out. Let them talk, right? Let them communicate. And if at any point the dog's trying to get away and say, okay, I'm done, I'm done, I'm done, and the other dog is like, no, then you can get a fight. Then you can get a little bit more than a correction. Then you can get more, you know, emotional and dramatic, petty. And that's when I step in. The other time I'll step in is if I have a young puppy and I have an unfair dog. So if I have a young puppy and I have a dog that's maybe 150 pounds and their correction to an eight-week-old puppy is, regardless of how fair they try to do it, it may not be. And that's where I'll step in and remove the puppy from the situation. But again, like Lola, medium-sized dog, beautiful at correcting. I have a video. I'm going to try to work on some of this older stuff to put out for you guys, but I do have a video of her doing that. And it was just, it's magical. Really cool to watch. So anyway, that's it for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this is helpful. I like to be as transparent as I can. Sometimes I get a little insecure to be blunt about things. I don't want it to come off a certain way and out of context, but I hope that this was clear and concise, and I love you guys so much, and I appreciate you listening. We're the number one pets and animal podcast in the country, ranking in the UK and other countries. Make sure you guys review, share it with your friends, screenshot this, do everything you can to share the great news to help other dog owners. I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.